The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, the following report might be difficult for some listeners. Imagine signing on for your first house today only to be diagnosed with cancer tomorrow. Or consider receiving the news when you're pregnant. Or preparing for a round of chemo while your friends are getting ready for a night on the town. These are just some of the predicaments that more and more young people are finding themselves in as cancer rates rise in the under 50s. But what's behind the phenomenon and who's being affected? News Talk's Sarah Madden reports.
So we are at Deer Park Stud in Swinford. We're looking over C. Crowpatrick right there in the distance.
Where is she now? Oh my gosh, I do see it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Crowpatrick to the left. Mm-hmm. And then that is Nathan Mountain then to the right.
It's the last of the summer sunshine in East Mayo, and Dervla Gavin is showing me around her family's home away from home.
My dad grew up here, and there was always kind of loads of different types of animals, but he kind of settled on horses, and yeah, we grew up with them. I grew up in Dublin, but we'd come down every weekend, and this is just sort of our kind of happy place. It's a place that has brought me quite a lot of solace as well in recent years, and a lot of decisions has been made as well here too.
With her sparkling eyes and glowing skin, it's hard to believe what Dervla's been through over the last few years, since being diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2020 at the age of 28.
I was a reporter in BBC. I was in the politics department, and what was most obviously exciting was that Trump election that coming November. It was exciting and it, you know, wrapped you up in it. Then one day I was in the newsroom and I was limping, and my editor was like, you know, there's, you know, what's wrong? You know, sit down, blah, blah, blah. Everyone was kind of milling around, like with scripts flying and everything. I said, I'll be right with you. I'll be right with you. Me feeling so guilty. So I went down to A&E reluctantly. A gynecologist came in and she did say, we're very worried about you. And that made one of us, because I was just so interested in getting my prescription and getting out and back to my shift. And she said, we're going to keep you in overnight. And my response to her was, I have work tomorrow. And she said, you're going to be here tomorrow.
3 weeks later, and Derva's diagnosis was clear.
Stage 3B ovarian cancer, which meant that it originated in the ovaries, but it had spread to both ovaries and the fallopian tubes, the womb, and into the peritoneum, which is like the lining under the abdomen, and into the cervix, and it was kind of in the pelvis as well, and pretty much all over the reproductive system.
Derva's case is shocking. Shocked me the first time I heard it, and it shocks me again today. But cancer in young people is on the rise. It's increased by nearly a quarter in 25 to 49-year-olds over the last two decades, and cancer rates are rising twice as quickly in the under-50s as they are in the over-75s. So what's behind this worrying phenomenon? How are these patients affected differently by the disease? And can our health system handle a rise in cancer in young people?
Well, I suppose we've always traditionally considered cancer to be a diagnosis of older people, people in their 70s, maybe in their 80s.
Maeve Lowry is Professor of Translational Cancer Medicine at Trinity College Dublin, and she's also co-director of the Trinity St James's Cancer Institute.
But what's been seen clearly over the last couple of decades is a concerning rise in the number of cases of cancer we're seeing in patients who are younger than 50 years of age. That's particularly in the last 20 years. It's across a number of different cancer types, particularly cancers of the gastrointestinal tract, most notably in colon cancer, stomach cancer, pancreas cancer and liver cancer, but also a rise seen in breast cancers, lung cancers, and other solid tumours, as we call them, cancers of the solid organs. And it looks now as though by 2030, that colon cancer will be the leading cause of cancer death in people under the age of 50.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of kind of postulated reasons that there might be an increasing number of young people getting cancer.
Richard Bambury is a consultant medical oncologist at Cork University Hospital.
People wonder about, say, mobile phones, for example, and use of mobile phones and devices. There's no real evidence that they increase cancer risk. People wonder about, you know, exposure to a lot of plastics. Again, that's something that needs to be examined, but there's no definite proof that it's associated with cancer risk. Certainly, probably in the Western diet, we eat a lot of red meat and processed meats like bacon and sausages and things like that. And the WHO, the World Health Organization, have acknowledge that they are, you know, too much red meat and too much processed meats does increase the risk of cancers. Other things that are postulated but not proven are, you know, as we use more and more antibiotics, especially in younger people, it might alter the colon or the bowel microbiome, which is the bacteria that we all have in our bowel. They can get altered by antibiotics. And so there's some research asking the question, could that be leading to an increased risk of bowel cancer in younger people? Not proven yet, but it's one of the theories that's being investigated.
A cancer diagnosis isn't easy at any age, but according to Professor Lowry, the challenges faced by those under 50 can be particularly complex, with far-reaching effects.
People at this stage of life have a lot of people usually relying on them. For example, young children of their own, maybe working full-time, may have a mortgage, a car loan, a lot of responsibilities. And so a cancer diagnosis at that stage that could take you out of work for a year or longer if cancer is an advanced stage, it can be devastating not just to the patient who's involved, but also all of those who depend upon that person. So the impact upon the family, upon young children, for example, upon the spouse, the financial implications, they're huge. Of course, the priority is to get medical treatment. But if you also can't pay the bills, can't meet your mortgage repayments or your car repayments, that is a huge added sense of stress for patients as well.
I was kind of going, how am I going to afford my car loan? How am I going to live? It was more worry about that than anything.
Ross Common native Áine Martin was first diagnosed with breast cancer in 2021 at the age of 35. For most of us, our 30s are about getting a mortgage, finding a partner and maybe starting a family. But having a cancer diagnosis like Áine's presents challenges to young people like her.
I got a secondary diagnosis last March. It was a lesion on my breastbone and my sternum. They couldn't remove all of it. While I'm good and everything's going fine, I can't say really that I'm in remission or that I'm cured or anything like that. It might be something I'd never be able to say. But I suppose what they call it is living with cancer. At the moment, I'm trying to get a mortgage, and mortgage protection is not something that I'm going to get. At the moment, nobody will quote me, so it's going to make getting a mortgage very difficult. Because of my diagnosis, it is harder to meet someone. I know most people would say, oh, that wouldn't bother me, but if you Google my diagnosis from last year, which is metastasized breast cancer of the sternum, you'll scare yourself because it basically says you'll probably be dead in 5 years' time. So it is definitely harder to meet somebody. I always wanted kids, but it's not going to be something that's going to be an option for me now because my oncologist advised me to harvest my eggs before I had chemotherapy. So while I have my eggs, I won't be able to stop my tablet treatment. It's too much of a risk. Surrogacy is obviously an option, but, you know, the cost of surrogacy is something that would rule me out of it. Even if I was able to afford a loan to pay for a surrogacy or whatever, you're kind of saying, well, if you have kids and you don't have a partner, you know, there is always a risk that this could come back or whatever. So you don't want to bring kids in worrying that they could be left by themselves either.
Yeah. God, I'm so sorry.
I'm kind of used to it. At this point, it's just, I always did think I would have kids.
Yeah.
And I'm a real kid person, but yeah.
Oncology is undoubtedly one of the most difficult areas of medicine to work in. But Richard Bambury says treating young people like Áine is particularly tough for medical staff like him.
A situation where there's a very young patient who hasn't had the opportunity to have had a family yet or who does already have a young family and has an incurable illness is very tragic, mainly for the patient, obviously, and their family, but it can have a toll on the healthcare staff to be caring for them as well. And it's probably the most difficult part of working in cancer medicine, yeah.
Well, I think the biggest challenge I've had, especially over the last few years, is the knowledge that I'm not providing these patients with the comprehensive level of care that I think that they would benefit from.
Professor Maeve Lowry.
So the Irish Cancer Society have supported us to set up here in Trinity St. James's Cancer Institute a centre for young onset gastrointestinal and head and neck cancers, and we're hoping to expand to other cancer types soon once we've implemented our programme of care. I know that we can give good medical care, good surgical care, and good nursing care. But when I see these patients in my clinic and I see the distress and I see the concerns and I think about the needs that they have, without the programme of care that the Irish Cancer Society has funded, I don't have the resources to meet those as a standalone doctor and my nurse as a standalone nurse. I also don't have the expertise in the areas, for example, of sexual health, fertility, menopause and survivorship, in social work, in financial navigation of, you know, support systems. We're also backing this up with a comprehensive programme of research because, of course, we want to make sure these patients have the best possible care, but also we want to understand why patients are developing cancer and see what interventions we could do in terms of preventative strategies, early detection strategies, better treatment strategies to improve outcomes for our younger patients.
This model of cancer care for the 25 to 49-year-old age group will be the first of its kind in Ireland when the pilot launches in St. James's Hospital next year. But Maeve hopes it will eventually be expanded and replicated in hospitals across the country. And if that's the case, I know someone in Mayo who would be just perfect for the team.
I've recently gone back to study psychotherapy. The BBC were incredible, my team were incredible, but I knew I had just changed, you know, and it wasn't them, it was me, you know, I had changed. My dream really is I would love to go back and hopefully offer therapy for people that have had similar diagnosis or have some kind of health battle themselves. I'm 3 years out the other side. But honestly, Sarah, kind of circling back to where we began, I think a huge reason why I love the countryside so much now is that it helps you to kind of come back to yourself. That's a way I have minimized stress, is focusing on my own story. It just was the biggest wake-up call of actually what's important in life.
And that report from Sarah Madden. If you have any questions or concerns about cancer, you can contact the Irish Cancer Society support line 1800 200 700 or email supportline@irishcancer.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.